Little Jimmy was in the garage with his dad while his dad was working on their car. And dad needed some pliers, and so he asked Jimmy to go to the shed and get him a pair of pliers. And Jimmy didn't go. He didn't go. And dad said, "Jimmy," I said, "go to the shed and get me some pliers." He said, "Dad, I'm too scared to go in there by myself." Dad persisted, "Well, Jimmy, you need to, you're old enough now. You can go get pliers in the shed." And Jimmy was just too afraid. He was just paralyzed by fear. And he said, "No." And so his dad just thought for a minute. He said, "Listen, it's okay to go in the shed by yourself because Jesus will be there with you." So Jimmy walked hesitantly toward the shed and slowly opened the door. He peeked inside and saw it was really dark. So he started to turn around and leave when he all of a sudden had an idea. "Jesus, if you're in there, could you get me that pair of pliers over there?" One summer night, during a severe thunderstorm, a mother was tucking her son in bed. She was about to turn the light off when the son, in a trembling voice, said, "Mommy, will you stay all night with me, please?" And smiling, the mother gave him a warm, a reassuring hug and said tenderly, I can't, dear. I have to go sleep in Daddy's room with Daddy." A long silence followed. And as she was leaving, the silence was broken with a shaky voice saying, "The big sissy." Last week, for the children's sermon, I spoke to the kids about fear. I don't know if you remember that or not. But you see, it's easy for we as adults to talk about children's fears, like the dark, or a scary place like a dark shed or something like that. It's easy for us to talk about that, isn't it? It's easy for us to talk about our own childhood and childhood fears. But what's difficult is as we get older, we don't talk about fears. Well, we do, but what we do is we mask it with grown-up words. We dress our fears up in words like stresses and worries. But ultimately, guess what? They're still fears. They're fears that we have. Instead of a dark room, it becomes stress or worry of being left alone. Or just the future in general. Instead of a thunderstorm, which we have no control over, it becomes the stress or worry of choices our grown children make. Or the impending outcome of some health issue for ourselves or a loved one. And we say, I'm worried about this, I'm stressed about this, but we're so careful not to say, I'm afraid. But ultimately, we're afraid. Let's be honest. We're afraid. We say something is stressing us at work. And ultimately, it's a fear of what's going to happen or not happen, or a fear of whether things will go the way we hope they will. When we say we're worried about our children, we're worried about them, and I know. It's something out of our control. There's nothing we can do about it. And so we say we worry, but what it really is we fear for them. And it's a fear that we have. Today, we may not have an answer for every fear that we possess, but I believe that we're going to be able to gain a foundation for facing those fears. I believe that as we continue today, and we're honest with each other and ourselves, that we will maybe be able to face what we call stresses and dress up as stresses and worries and name them for what they really are: fear. And we'll see that a true believer actually has a choice of choosing faith not fear. Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. As we head into this passage, the Apostle Paul is actually writing to his disciple Timothy, who had become a pastor of a church in his region. Timothy is a very young man at this point, probably still in his teens, maybe 17, 18 years old at this point. He's young, he's inexperienced, and so Paul in this letter speaks boldness to him concerning his work as a pastor and the preaching of the gospel. But it's in the tone of stresses and worries that may be bombarding this young pastor. Timothy was facing these somewhat insurmountable things with many older adults in his church that knew a whole lot more about life and everything else than he did. And so Paul gets to the bottom of the matter, and he doesn't call it stresses or worries. He calls it what it is. He calls it fearfulness. So let's look at 2 Timothy. We're just going to look at one verse, chapter 1, verse 7. Paul said this to Timothy, "For God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, love, and sound judgment." You see, throughout Scripture you hear, "Fear the Lord, fear the Lord." This is a respectful reverence for authority, to fear the Lord. If, as his child, if you disobey the Lord, then it's truly fearing the Lord, fearing what discipline he may cause and allow upon our lives. Then that's true fear. But it boils from the center of a respectful reverence for authority. That's not the fear Paul is talking about here. It's not the same word. This fearfulness means something terrible, something scary, something terrifying, or maybe just simply some phobia we may have. It's a spirit of fearfulness. And it has no part with God. No part. Not even a little bit of it is from God. So Paul only spoke of fear here. He didn't focus on fear. He spoke of fear to identify these stresses and worries that may actually debilitate Timothy and keep him from being fully effective as God's child. For us, any stress, any worry, let's be honest, any fear, that's what we're talking about. Any fear that, even to the smallest extent, that cripples us as a true believer from being the person God intends us to be, it's not from God. It's not from God. That's why Paul said, God does not give a spirit of fearfulness. It's not from God. It's from the enemy. It's from Satan. It's from our flesh. It's from this sinful world. Ultimately, call a spade, it's evil. That's fear. You see, Paul's not a stranger to fear or the possibilities of it. He's expressing what Timothy should do and what we should do from personal experience in his own life. He tells the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, "Though we live in the body, we do not wage war in an unspiritual way. Since the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds." I love those words. "We demolish arguments and every high-minded thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, taking every thought captive to obey Christ." Now, there's a lot here, and we're not going to be able to unpack this part, this passage of 2 Corinthians. But we're going to take portions of it. You see, this place that Paul mentions, the power that we have, this place where it talks about power, this power that we have through God, because of our adoption into Jesus' family, is so powerful it can, I love the word, demolish strongholds. And it can demolish arguments. But you know what? This is even in our own life. Where does Satan grab us? Is it right in front of our face in the physical world? No, it starts in our mind, in our emotions, in our spirit. And he breathes fear. Because he knows a person who has fear becomes incapacitated. And Paul told Timothy, instead of fear, God gives the spirit of power. What's the spirit of power? It's the Holy Spirit. And this power is not our own. It is God's power. And because we are His, we are enveloped with power. Power over fear. In Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah writes, as God told him in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand." That's a picture of power and strength. That's real power. Let's understand this. This is God, the creator of the universe. God of gods, King of kings, Lord of lords, God on the throne. And he says, "I will strengthen you. I will help you." That's power. That's power. So if we are a true, born-again, believing Christian, then we are in the right hand of God, and it is the strongest place we can be. And we have then at our fingertips over fear in our spirit, in our mind, in our emotion, and yes, even in this physical world, we have God's power. God's power and His help. There's nothing greater than that. That's why Paul says, "Why fear?" There's another aspect to the power of God over fear. It manifests itself in the power of peace. Real peace. Not peace like our world talks about. Peace with turmoil. No. But real peace. It's peace within our spirit, within our emotions, within our mind. And Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives." Boy, I'm glad of that. "Your heart must not be troubled or fearful." And Jesus said this. Your heart must not be troubled or fearful. Because fear will debilitate us from living the fullness of life that God intends for us to live. Doing the work of God, we talked about last week that one purpose. And fear can debilitate us from being about that one purpose, that work of God. Paul said that God gives the spirit of power. He said also, though, that God gives the spirit of love. Now, if we try to define love the way the world defines love, I promise you, we will end up empty seeking that kind of love. Because the world doesn't know anything but sexual type love. Everything revolves around it. Oh, they might know friendship, brotherly love of sorts, but not the kind of love God talks about. No, you see, the love God offers is with power. It's with greatness. And it's most well defined in what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Starting in verse 8 through the very first part of verse 1. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It is not boastful. It's not conceited. It doesn't act improperly. It's not selfish. It's not provoked. It doesn't keep record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. That's love. That's love. That's powerful love. That's love beyond human ability. No one can love like this unless they have called on Jesus as their Lord and Savior, have an indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and are truly God's child. Then you can love like this. So, for Paul, when he talks to Timothy about God gives the spirit of power, he's talking about real power, real strength, real help from the Creator of the universe, Almighty God. When he then talks about love, man, he's talking about the love that can dispel fear. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love. God's love. There is no fear in God's love. So please understand, when we have these stresses and we have these worries that are on us that we feel are insurmountable, it's not from God. Because it's not part of love. Look at what love is. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Go through that and ask yourself, does this stress fit in any of these categories? Does this worry fit in any of these categories? I'll guarantee you it doesn't, because it's fear. Therefore, it's not from God. So guess what you do? You do what Paul said to the Corinthians and said, take captive those thoughts. What do you do with captives? You jail them up, don't you? Listen, Paul wasn't foolish enough to say they're going to be gone. Right? Listen, we still have the thoughts are there. But grab them. Take them captive. Bind them up. Put them in a jail cell and let Jesus hold the key. Take captive those thoughts of stress and worry. Those thoughts of being alone one day or whatever the future may hold. Whatever sicknesses that we deal with. We're going to deal with them. We're going to have the emotions with them. But guess what? It doesn't mean we shouldn't cry. It doesn't mean we shouldn't mourn. In fact, Scripture speaks very much about we should mourn. We should grieve. But we don't let it rule us. We don't let it to devour us into some kind of phobia within ourselves. We don't let it debilitate us from the love of God. This powerful love. This power from God. But the third thing, Paul said, was God gives a spirit of a sound mind or of sound judgment. You see, this is the power of our mind. Did God give us the most powerful computer on earth as a mistake? Now some of you may say, well, Pastor, I don't know if my mind's all that powerful. It is. It is, especially when you loose it to the Holy Spirit. Not lease it. I didn't say lease it. I said loose it to the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that in a moment, what that means. Because, you see, it takes a humbling of ourselves. In our minds, sometimes it's very difficult for us to let something go. When we don't let a stress or a worry go, guess what that is? We don't want to call a spade a spade. I know, we don't. We're happy to talk about the past, but how about right now? It's called pride. What? Yeah. Is there really anything you can do about it? Now, if there's some things you can do about a stress or a worry, do it. That's not really a stress or a worry. That's just a matter of you've got to get off our laurels and take care of something. That's fine. But if it's a stress or a worry, and most of our stresses and worries, you think about it, are things we have no control over. If we are not willing to humble ourselves and let God have it, it's pride. It's pride. We are being arrogant. I know that's hard to face. It's really hard to face. It's hard for me to face. I'm not speaking at you, I promise you. I can tell you, as I've been going through this, I've got this thing I'm dealing with, and this thing, and this thing, and this stress, this worry, and I have no control. Kurt, you are nothing but a prideful bag of bones. You need to give it up to Jesus. You need to realize God's not the spirit of your fear. He's the spirit of power and of love and of sound judgment. And so we read in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, unto the mighty hand of God, so that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your care on Him. Because He cares for you. Guess what? Believe it or not, God cares for you, all your stresses and all your worries, more than you do. And He can do something about it. You can't. I can't tell you how many times I have to say that to myself about my children. Not you guys. You're still in my home. I'm just kidding. But even them. The one that's moved off. I have to say, you know what? God, you love them more than I do. You love them more than I do. And if I worry, then I'm just being prideful, Lord. Forgive me for my pride. If I have fear for what choices, you know what? That's pride, Lord, and it's fear, and that is not your spirit, Satan. Get behind me. God, help me take captive these thoughts. Bind them up, throw them away, put them in jail. They're still going to be there, folks. We're human. That's why Paul didn't say take captive and destroy them. No, that's not healthy. But bind them up and let Jesus have them and humble ourselves to Him. That's what Peter was saying. But we have to take mental action here. This is not something that isn't work. It's not easy. You all know what I'm talking about. It's not easy. And Jesus knew it wasn't easy. And yet He still gave this command. Listen to this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Don't worry about tomorrow. Well, that's easier said than done, Jesus. Because I'm pretty doggone worried about tomorrow. Do you realize the test I have tomorrow, Jesus? Do you realize the bill I know that's coming in the mail tomorrow, Jesus? But He doesn't leave us right there. He actually gives us a reason. Listen to this. Because tomorrow will worry about itself. And I love this part. He brings it home. He brings it to reality. Why are you worrying about tomorrow? Because you're living today. Who knows if you'll be living tomorrow? Right? One deer in the road might be the end of it for us. Come on. We live out in the country here. And He said, each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen to that, brother. Amen, Jesus. Amen, Jesus. Each day has trouble of its enough of its own. Why am I worrying about tomorrow? Jesus didn't say, don't plan for tomorrow. He didn't say that. He didn't say, don't set up some retirement and things so in your older age you can, you know, still live. And He didn't say that. You understand? He said, don't worry. Don't worry about it. Because I promise you, we're regular folks here. And there isn't one of us that did or could set up enough, let's just talk finances, financially, so that we know beyond doubt that we're going to be sitting pretty once we are retired. And some of you say, amen, brother, because I'm right there. and I'm not sitting pretty, and I thought I was doing, you know, or whatever. Don't worry about tomorrow. The worries of today, it's enough. It's enough. I love what Jesus is practical. He's practical for us, isn't he? Kind of brings it home. That's what Paul was talking about when he said to Timothy, a sound mind. Sound judgment. It's not easy, especially at the beginning, when you start attacking worries. Remember, I've said before here, I'm a worry-aholic. I'm a recovering worry-aholic. And I was a worrier, like, you might have thought I should go to a mental hospital kind of worry. I'm serious. And God taught me, take captive those thoughts, Kurt, because I am not a God of fear. I didn't give you that spirit. I gave you a spirit of power, of love, and of sound judgment. So why don't you take a minute, take a breath, think through this. What control do you have? Oh, God, I don't have any control. Okay. So why don't you just focus on my love? Do I love you? Yes, Lord, more than I love myself. Do I love this situation, this person you're worried about or whatever? Lord, more than I love my own self. Have I given you power to be able to conquer the fear that is it, Lord, Holy Spirit, forgive me, my pride, and may I humble before you? It's gotten easier over the years for me, but I still struggle. I'm not kidding. I still struggle. Those old thoughts, those captive thoughts that God has allowed me to bind up and put in prison, they come creeping back sometimes. They might get an arm out and kind of reach out at me sometimes. I said, oh man, we got to tie that one back up. Okay? So it's not just a poof. Oh yeah, I have an epiphany here and I'm no longer going to have my fears. But we have the spirit of power. We have the spirit of love. We have the spirit of sound judgment. And we have a choice. Here's the choice. The choice is based on our faith. Hebrews 11 verse 1 describes faith this way. It's the reality of what is hoped for. What is that? Our eternal life with Jesus Christ. We're not citizens here, we're citizens of heaven. The reality of what is hoped for and the proof of what is not seen. How do you have proof if you can't see it? Because the proof is in our life. It's through our life as Jesus lives and speaks and works through us as we give up our fear to Him humbly. And guess what? There's the proof. Someone can come and say, oh man, you know, how do you get through this, that, or the other? Well, Jesus. Oh, come on, that's a bunch of bunk. Oh yeah? How do you get through this? Oh man, it's just killing me. It's, oh man, I can't. Well, proof's in the pudding. You're not trusting Jesus. I am. I'm not worrying. You are. I'm not living in fear. You are. Here's the proof. You can see my faith. I've chosen faith. I've chosen faith and not fear. And the proof is in my life. Paul Kahn said it this way. In Galatians chapter 2, last part of verse 19 through verse 21. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me more than I love myself, come on, and gave himself for me. So it's a simple bottom line for us. The bottom line is, what are you going to choose today? When it comes to your fearfulness, come on, stresses, worries, things you have no control over, when it comes to all these things, are you going to choose faith or fear? God says choose your faith. Choose faith. Dr. E. Stanley Jones once said, I am inwardly fashioned for faith, not for fear. Fear is not my native land. Faith is. I am so made that worry and anxiety are sand in the machinery of life. Faith is the oil. I live better by faith and confidence than by fear, doubt, and anxiety. In anxiety and worry, my being is gasping for breath. These are not my native air. But in faith and confidence, I breathe freely. These are my native air. John Hopkins University doctor said, "We do not know why it is that worriers die sooner than non-worriers, but that is a fact." Dr. Jones went on to say, "But I, who am simple of mind, think I know. We are inwardly constructed in nerve and tissue, brain cell and soul, for faith, not for fear. God made us that way. To live by worry and fear is to live against true reality." Challenge for today is simple. It's pretty clear. You have to think for yourself. I have to think for myself. When the fears of life, let's be honest, fear, are we going to humble ourselves and choose faith? Or are we going to wriggle pride into it all and fear? This week, you're going to have stuff come up. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it today. Don't worry about it today. Enjoy today for today. Worry only the worries that you can do something about today. Don't worry about tomorrow because you can't do anything about tomorrow. But then tomorrow, wake up in the morning and say, "Lord God, I'm choosing faith today. No matter what comes my way, I'm choosing faith. Tuesday, I'm choosing faith. Wednesday, I'm choosing faith. Thursday, I'm choosing faith. Friday, I'm choosing faith. Saturday, I'm choosing faith. And Sunday morning, coming to church, I'm choosing faith, not fear." That's the challenge this week. Will you pray with me? Holy God, I thank you so much for your word. It truly revives our soul, as well as sometimes, Lord, it pierces our soul, as you say in your word, between so finely. It's like piercing between bone and marrow. I know in my life you've done that as I've prepared and preached this word. Lord, forgive me for the pride in my life where I have chosen fear, pridefully chosen fear over things I have no control. And sometimes, Lord, I think of even relationships I hurt because I choose fear instead of faith. And I try to take control. Lord, forgive me. For each of us here today, forgive us for our pride and our fearfulness. Cause us, Lord, to take thought, take heed to humbling ourselves before you, allowing then your Holy Spirit to be that power, that spirit of power, that spirit of love, that spirit of sound judgment, that spirit of true reality in our lives. May our air, the air we breathe, be full of faith. May the life we live and the soil we spiritually and mentally, emotionally live in, may it be faith. And may we be a people then that show the proof of what our faith is by the outcropping of our life. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. I'd like to give an opportunity today during our invitational hymn. I'm not admitting anything to anybody because, you know what, we all have fear. I think every one of us, and frankly, if you didn't have something, then please tell me how you're doing it, continually taking captive those thoughts. And I'm not necessarily looking for everybody to do this, but if there are some things in your life that are just almost seeming insurmountable to you, it's okay. But take the step of faith, I'm asking, come, just sit on this front row and pour it out to God. And the reason I'm saying this, don't not at your seat where you normally sit, in the area you normally sit. I want you to come up here and dump it, and then I want you to leave it right here, humbly before the Lord. Leave it here. And this week, Michelle will be here cleaning up. And when she vacuums it, she'll be vacuuming it all away. So next week, if you sit here, it won't be here. Okay? I'm asking you to take steps. If there's something in your life that you say, man, Lord Jesus, I got to give it up. Hymn 608, Oh, That Will Be Glory. Hymn 608, if you'll stand and sing with me.
Love that binds us and encourages us and strengthens us. We have peace. We have some judgment where we can look at and face true reality as you see it, Almighty God, because you give us that spirit. May we just take one day at a time and allow you to have everything we have in the world. In Jesus' name we pray, for your honor and glory, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you all.